Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two on this Friday. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland.
With you.
You know, we missed a today in sports history, which I think is pretty important in the sports landscape. What are the best uniforms in all of sports, do you think? In all of sports.
That's really hard.
When you think of the perfect uniform, what do you think of?
Well, I'm a traditionalist, so that's going to be pretty easy for me.
Okay, what is it?
It's like the Cubs and the Yankees.
Okay. On this date in sports history, 1911, the Philadelphia Phillies come up with an idea for a new style of uniform, white flannels with vertical thin stripes, an innovation that predates the famed New York Yankees pinstripes by 4 years.
There you go.
Valentine's Day, the uniform that everybody loves was invented by the Philadelphia Phillies. Like, the Yankees take all the credit for pinstripes.
Maybe they do take the credit. They're the most known, but it sounds like they weren't first.
They were not. It was the Phillies. And then the Yankees said, oh, we like that. We'll take it. But Phillies, pinstripes, who knew?
Best uniform in baseball.
The Phillies?
No. Go. Best uniform in baseball. Number one is Yankees. Number two is Cubs for me.
For me, I like the Dodgers.
Dodgers is third for me.
And the Royals. I love the Royals.
I have always liked the Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves. Good look.
The red, white, and blue, the kind of script Braves with the tomahawk underneath it. I always loved that growing up.
Yeah.
Solid. Good choices.
It's really good. I mean, baseball uniforms are great, except for the Diamondbacks.
True.
I mean, those are putrid.
No, but it's those not like, are it's not, you know, Tampa, it's not like Tampa's could just, oh, they're dreadful.
Tampa,
dreadful.
The current Tampa ones?
Yes, dreadful.
Really?
So are the Marlins. Dreadful. Dreadful.
Marlins are bad too.
Dreadful.
Well, Marlins are classing it up a little bit. Their old logo was horrific.
Bad.
Okay. Well, I wanted to get that sports history in because it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It's the day, Lover's Day, you know? And we all love pinstripes, so go ahead and do it. All right. A lot to get to this hour, including some NFL nuggets. Should Derrick Henry blame Todd Gurley? That plus a viral offensive line clip. Right now, it is 7:07.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right, Pac-12 hoops, as heard right here on The Fan last night. Number 17, Oregon bounced back and rallied to beat 16th-ranked Colorado 68-60 last night in Eugene. The Buffs had a 20-0 run in the first half, led by as many as 14 points. Ducks pull out a win, and they are now back in first place in the Pac-12
Good
standings.
Stuff.
Elsewhere in the conference, everybody was in action last night. Oregon State thumped Utah 70-51. How about those Beavs putting together a run, huh?
They're trying to get ready for the Pac-12 tournament. That's what you do. You play your best basketball at the end of the season.
Down in Southern California, USC beat Washington 62-56. And I went and I was like, Washington, they're 2-10 in conference play.
Yeah.
But do you know that they almost have like a positive point differential?
Yeah, they've lost tons of games in the last minute and a half, and they've just been, they're just can't finish.
And they blew out.
Nobody cares how well you play, it's how you finish.
They just blow out teams when they win, and then they lose tight games.
Tight games.
Cougs lose to UCLA 86-83. They're doing a great job of Pullman. The Bay Area schools were taking on the Arizona schools as the Wildcats beat up on Cal 68-52, and Arizona State top Stanford 74-69. You're as cold as ice. Week 2 in the XFL starts tomorrow. Bob Stoops announcing yesterday that Landry Jones will start for the Dallas Renegades when they take on Los Angeles this weekend in the XFL. Landry Jones was a guy, he got some significant run in the NFL.
Also, did you see the reports that coaches were not prepared mentally for how their calls were going to be put out on national television? And they were so concerned. Jim Zorn was like, I did not know it was going to be that prevalent. June Jones said, I can't believe. And will they continue that? I think they knew they signed up for it. I don't think coaches were prepared really about how it was going to be perceived by the fans, and it was going to be readily available for everybody, and they were a little bit paranoid.
Well, Jim Zorn said he didn't know that it was going to happen. How did you not know it was going to happen?
I think that's out of sight, out of mind.
Well, I mean, they were told. Like, that was one of the whole premises and things in the league is you're going to hear the play calls.
I think it's just kind of a shock for them because it's never been done before.
They're afraid of their secrets getting out.
Well, their code words. Their code words and secrets. And every coach is like that. They all want that, but I think they signed up for the XFL. If I was Oliver Luck and it was like, yeah, deal with it.
Dude, and obviously the league would be like, well, everybody knew.
Yeah, everybody knew.
That's your fault.
Yeah, deal with it.
Also, the Wildcats have, LA, that's who the Dallas Renegades play. They already fired their defensive coordinator, Pepper Johnson.
Yeah, I know Pepper. Pepper was there. Yeah, yeah. Pepper was the linebacker coach when I was in New England. He was an unbelievable linebacker back in the day for the New York Giants. Good friend and close relationship with Bill Belichick until he decided to leave and went with Mangini, and there was kind of a rift there between the two. And then Pep has been around quite some time, a respected coach, but Winston Moss is a heck of a linebacker and a classic linebacker, was the defensive coordinator for Green Bay with Mike McCarthy. I know this staff intimately.
Okay, well then what happened with Pepper Johnson?
There was an immediate expectation of what to call, and just like all coaches, they have egos right away. And Coach Moss, who's the head coach, is like, nope, I'm taking over. See ya.
Oh.
They have zero patience with it. And they let go of their best player.
They obviously have zero patience with it. They got rid of him after one game.
I think there was a little bit of turmoil already of going in, of how to do things. That's what happens when your head coach was a former defensive coordinator and Pep was doing it. And there you go. Oh.
Mitch Haniger has had his second surgery in 3 weeks. This one, a back surgery.
That guy can't catch a break. He had the worst injury I've ever heard of last year. Now he's got bad back.
Well, doesn't he have the testy, too?
Yeah, he had a ruptured his testicle.
His, quote-unquote, core muscle. Oh. Now he's got a back injury.
Guy can't
catch a break.
He can't stay healthy. Too bad, because he's got a lot of talent. It's just too bad.
No, Jeff Passan saying they don't know the timetable for return on this one. That's the only report I read. I don't know if anybody else has more information on a timetable for it.
Mariners can't catch a break with anybody.
No.
But they did sign Taiwan Walker back.
Oh, hey
welcome
good.
Back, Taiwan Walker.
I like Mitch Haniger, though.
I do, too.
I hate it when guys say, you're like, hey, he's going to be good. I thought that way, no batting gloves guy. Brad Miller.
Oh, yeah, Brad Miller.
I liked him for a little
bit.
And then
I like Taylor Motter. Love Taylor Motter with the long, swooping hair. He's gone.
What's Brad Miller up to these days?
I don't know.
Probably selling batting gloves because he never wore them. Now he's like, hey, hawking this product for Franklin. Is that all Franklin does now is sell batting gloves?
No, they do a little bit of everything, I think.
Make rubber basketballs?
Maybe.
Still?
Great batting gloves.
What makes them great?
Oh, they're just, they got so many different kinds of variations. They're awesome. You can customize them, different grips, different thickness, tacky, not tacky, thin. They're so cool. Their website is awesome.
I feel like a tacky batting glove would not be good.
Oh.
Yeah. You want to have a little bit of slide.
You want tacky.
A little bit of just... Ugh. Seems like too much sticky would be.
No, you
good.
Want to hold it in your fingers and have some tackiness. That's why pine tar is super popular. And lizard skins. You got to make sure you're lizard skin.
Well, yeah, but too tacky, like all over the hand. So you're talking, is it just on the fingers or is it on the palms or is it all over tackiness?
It's your own preference.
Okay. Josh Norman is out in D.C. apparently. Redskins parting ways with the defensive back.
Yeah.
They fall off pretty quickly, the defensive back position. Which one falls off faster, DB or running back? Corner or running back?
Well, corners are definitely higher paid, so I'll say running backs.
Yeesh. Well, I mean, I'm talking about from a production standpoint. Like, they'll be good. Like, Xavier Rhodes, good. He's one of the best in the league. Then, now, Josh Norman, one of the best in the league.
I tell anybody, you want to stay in the NFL a long time, and you're a big guy, play offensive line. You can play 15 years, 10 years. You can immediately, you can be sustainable for a long time. And plus, they need a lot of you. They carry sometimes 9 to 10. You want to get out of this league quick, try to be a running back. But not everybody is 6'5", 6'7", 320. Those frames are hard to find nowadays. They really are.
And the big news out of the NBA is Damian Lillard's groin strain is negative for a tear. He has a strain, and he will be evaluated at the end of the All-Star break. 1 to 2 weeks is the time frame for a return. According to Chris Haynes yesterday, he will perform hip-hop at the NBA All-Star weekend. Dame Dalla will perform. The show must go on. Good news for Dame. He will not play in the game, All-Star game. He will not do the three-point contest. Devin Booker replacing him in the lineup. Elsewhere in the NBA last night, two final games before All-Star weekend gets underway. Boston topping the Clippers 141-133 in double overtime. That game was amazing.
Oh.
Lou Williams thought he had it at game one. Went up for what he thought was a 3-1 because they were going to foul.
Yeah.
And the refs ruled it a 2. Or no, they waved it. They ruled it before the shot. They thought they were going to win in OT. Ended up going to double overtime where Jason Tatum ruled the world.
I got you hot. According to Adam Schefter, his question for you, Greg Olson is now negotiating with the Bills, Redskins, and Seahawks. So, and my question is, should he stick with broadcasting or continue to play with one of those three teams?
Which ones?
Greg Olson, former Panthers, is now, according to Adam Schefter, negotiating with the Bills, Redskins, and the Seahawks. But he is broadcasting with Fox. It's MXFL. Should he go after the Tony Romo money and go after that or chase it and still play football?
Okay, let's talk about that next. 716 on the Fan. I just want to use your love tonight. All right, Greg Olson has got a decision that he needs to make. According to Adam Schefter of ESPN, it's what? Down to three teams. Bills, Seahawks, and what was the other team?
Redskins.
Ugh. Or go into broadcasting. I think he should just go into broadcasting.
Really?
Yep. Why? I think he's going to be good. He'll be a star. Because of the Tony Romo situation, he's going to be getting $15 to $20 million, which means if he stays at CBS, then there's an opening on Monday Night Football. And then if he goes to Monday Night Football, then he can slide in and Greg Olson will have a job and it'll be a premier job with either CBS or ESPN ABC because he's better than almost anybody else that's out there right now.
And
there's a vacant job.
Yeah, I'll take the other side, is that the Seahawks are in those three teams. I would sign, if I was him, I would sign with the Seahawks, not because I think that there is immediate advantage. It's just there is clearly an immediate advantage. Total contradiction myself. Go play with Russell Wilson. Go give it a shot. It's the best team of those three that you have a shot of making a playoff run. Because, I think the Bills are solid. Oh. They're good, but you're not winning a Super Bowl with the Bills. And you're certainly not going to win one with the Redskins right now. Now, they might take some time, and I know he might want to go with... You can always go into broadcasting. Broadcasting is going to be there. It's like going back to school. I can totally go back to school at any point in time in my life. But when they say you're done, not all of us are like Jason Witten, who can go back and beg your dad for another opportunity to continue to play like he did with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. But with this opportunity with Greg, if he wants to still do it, and he's got fight left in him, and he wants to give it one more shot in a specific routine, and the Seahawks say, and one of those teams say, yes, go do it. Broadcasting will be there.
I thought you said it was not a good fit for him in Seattle.
It's not a good fit. I don't think it's a great fit. But if they decide to really use him in a manner that's different than what they've ever committed to, and they say, we want to use you as more of a stand-up, more of a guy that's a move tight end, and they want to implement a little few things, and they want to change and adjust, but Greg Olsen is not going to go to the Seahawks to put his hand down and be a blocker. He's not that dumb. And I don't think they're that dumb. They made a mistake with Jimmy Graham. They did. They made a huge mistake, and I don't believe they would do that. They wouldn't bring Greg Olsen in there to try to be an edge blocker. They wouldn't do it. They're not that. I don't believe that's what they would do. I think they would have to have the conversation. Greg, we envision you being like our inside guy. Thirds down, short yardage, stand up, occasional move. Maybe be some times when you'll be in a three-point stance, but we do not need you to hold the edge on our outside and inside zones.
Well, yeah, and that when we were talking initially, that was my whole point about him, is that he wouldn't need to play all the time because that's what's gotten him injured. He's missed 18 games the last 3 years. That's over a full season he's missed in the last 3 seasons. He has not finished any of the previous 3 seasons, a full season, because he's had that foot injury, which he keeps re-aggravating over and over again, which is a massive concern. And why I say, go into broadcasting, man, save your feet. And you see the money that can be made there. Yeah. And you've got some leverage right now with the whole Romo thing, because they'll be looking for somebody to put in a booth, and they're going to pay more than you would.
But maybe
if
he wants,
just retire and you're done.
Maybe,
you know?
Just maybe he wants to feel what it's like to make it a run. And he's already been to a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't win it. And that was a great football team, and they were really good, but they just got beat by a better defense. Maybe he wants to see if I can make one more shot. Mm. I get it.
12 seasons he's played. Mm-hmm. 12 seasons. Man, and he's damn good in the booth. He's really good.
Yeah, he's got a great career ahead of him with just broadcasting, but he could do that for 25 more years if he wants. Football's only got
a few
windows left. Yeah. Just a little bit of time.
I just look in the right now. You've been hurt a lot.
But here, and let me ask you this, though. And this is a fair question for everybody. And just to put it in this mindset. If somebody still wants you to do the job, like this, the league told me I was done. Mm-hmm. Like the league's like, yeah, we want you to come back. You know, you'll try that. I had teams telling me, yeah, we want you to come in. We could see you doing this. We could see you doing that. But by the end of the time, the league was like, we're out on you.
Mm-hmm.
You still have teams coming after you, asking you to fly out, telling you how he would use you, being appreciated, wanting to interact with you within the offense, meeting new guys, expanding with a new team, trying a few things. They still want him in the league. That's hard to turn down.
Oh, absolutely.
That's hard to say no to something where you're being pursued and told that you're important. We need you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a big decision for him. I heard an interview that he's done where he's talking about how, you know, one of the big decisions that he wants to make is that he's got – but I think it was, he said 3 kids.
Yeah.
And, they're growing. He's 34. He's like, I'm going to start missing a lot of time with them, and they're the important things too.
Yeah.
This will be, and that makes it a little bit tougher as well. I mean, it's going to be a decision. That's why he was saying, this actually is a tough decision for me as to what I want to do. Because he's been flirting with the broadcasting thing for a few years now. Was it 2 years ago? He actually did a game during the season. Remember that? When they didn't want to let him to any of the pre-production meetings because they were, they may see him down the road. So, Greg Olsen, that's a really tough choice for him. Or it might be a real easy one. You know, he's got connections with the staffs in Buffalo and Washington. Obviously, Ron Rivera's former coach in Carolina, the head coach of the Panthers. McDermott in Buffalo was his coach, or was a coach in Carolina as well. And then what is his connection with Seattle? Just they need a tight end?
I don't know. I don't.
Because I don't think he was anywhere with Shoddy, because Schottenheimer, and he wasn't anywhere with Pete Carroll.
Who's the best player of those groups? Who's going to make him the best tight end you can imagine? Can you think logically for a second? Russell Wilson made Will Disley. Russell Wilson made Will Disley an actual threat, a guy that was a defensive end that came from nowhere, and it was a linebacker, D lineman at Washington, was just an absolute kind of guy, and he made Will Disley an offensive threat. He made all those guys threats.
Hollister too. Hollister was good by the end of the year.
Unbelievable ability to elevate the players around him because he knows that's the talent I have. I got to facilitate. I have to do that. If Greg Olsen wants to have a run with stats, not just stats, but Russell Wilson will elevate him and get him the ball better than Cam Newton ever. he will. It would be like catching a pillow compared to what Cam Newton throws at him.
Well, he's done in Carolina.
No, I know, but I'm telling you, he thought he had a good quarterback in Cam Newton, which is MVP. He's a good quarterback. Russell Wilson is light years ahead of where Cam Newton is right now, physically, and with a better throwing motion and a better ball. Everything about it.
But in the way that you outline that they will use him.
I don't know.
Well, I know, but because he's not a hand in the ground guy. We know that from his 12-year career. He's not an every down tight end. Won't he be more of like Jimmy Graham, who was not utilized the right way because when he was in the game, you knew you were throwing the ball?
Jimmy Graham had a different offensive coordinator.
Well, I know, but you knew that if you have him in as a stand-up guy and he's not going to be used in the blocking game, like one of the things that Hollister and Disley did were they, you know, leaking out in the way that they used them in every down
Hollister
packages.
Hollister was a terrible blocker. He couldn't block anybody.
But he had to be in there.
Yeah, but he was just the body. So I think with Greg, this conversation was had or he wouldn't entertain it. He said, we see you doing this. We're going to implement this packages just for you. And Russell Wilson was probably in that meeting going, Greg, here's what if you guarantee there's just been a lot of texts back and forth. We want you. We love you. Let's go it. Let's do it.
My question about this is if you were a wide receiver, why wouldn't you want to play for Russell Wilson?
Because
his ability to create and when a play breaks down, you break to the sideline and you get to freelance a little bit more. Yeah. My God.
This is a good text.
Who wouldn't want to play for
him? It's true. It's a good text by P1 Phil. He goes, play until you can't. Don't want regrets.
No regrets.
We told everybody when we were out there with each other. Said first time I made it on the field in training camp. And the veteran linebacker says, look at here, son. You play until this league kicks you out. Never walk away. Now the money is different now. You can walk away, but that's the mindset.
Yeah.
Let the league will tell you when it's time.
For 9 seasons, he didn't miss a game.
Yeah.
And he's missed a full season, actually more than a full season, in the last 3 years because of injury. Greg Olsen, got a little bit of a choice to make here. Has the basketball culture, the AAU culture, finally seeped into football? A viral clip that's being absolutely demolished after Buck with SportsCenter. It's been slowly creeping in. Little by little, the AAU culture that we see in basketball that's prevalent, that's kind of led to a deterioration of like team play, more me, one-on-one styles.
By the way, monster basketball tournament this weekend in Portland. Monster.
Oh.
Huge.
Okay.
I'm excited.
All right. Where?
Oh, Beaverton, the Hoop.
The Hoop.
The Hoop. And all across the thing, it's called the President's Day Weekend Tournament.
I remember massive. When the Hoop opened.
They come from all over. They'll be all over the place.
Cool.
Big deal. Big deal. A lot of jumpsuit dads. They'll be everywhere.
Take your jumpsuit to the dry cleaner? You get it ready?
I got my Nietzsche ready pressed and ready to go.
Cool.
What does that stand for again?
What?
NYC.
NYC. E-N...
Yeah, that's what it was.
Y-C-E.
Remember I told that funny, my wife bought me that. She goes, I don't know why you don't ever wear that.
Well,
it just doesn't kind of fit the mold.
All right. Well, the good luck to the Trent teams playing at the Hoop. All of you, I hope you all win and get a trophy. Everybody. But we've been talking about how it's been a slow creep in, the AAU style into football. And it's really hard to do because football is a collision sport. You can't play it year round. Well, 7-on-7 and camps have filled that void. And what we're seeing is a lot of the traveling 7-on-7 teams, a lot of traveling now linemen groups that go around and they participate and train. And then they go and do one-on-ones, not in pads, not padded up. It's not 11-on-11. It's not really football. And it's starting to look a lot like the AAU. And there's a viral video that is going around now. It has got 4.7 million views on Twitter. It's got 4,900 likes and 531 retweets. But not for the good reasons. It's by at Go Get It YFT. And Go Get It YFT is a trainer. In his bio, it says fundamental football teaching, ages 4 and up. Wow. They do the 7-on-7 and the group training stuff based out of Florida. Yeah, 4 years old.
Four?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, that can't be serious. Four?
Uh-huh. No, yeah. That's what it says. Okay. I mean, go look at the bio. Okay. But the video is of 2022 prospect Julian Armella. And it says, showing why he's one of the most dominant linemen in the country, class of 22. Quote, he requested a reservation to meet Mr. Armella in the trenches. Beast, rivals camp series, hashtag trenches. Let's go get it. And it's of this lineman who he throws the defensive lineman, but this is where it goes askew. Football people around the country are absolutely obliterating the technique and the fact that the video even exists. Mm-hmm. David Bakhtiari, Trey Thomas, Jeff Schwartz, Earl Little, Ray Roberts, Mike Golick. Everybody is commenting on this video saying this is horrible fundamentals. Why are we praising this? What is wrong with what's happening in this video? For those that haven't seen it yet.
Everything. Do you want to retweet that sucker from yours?
Yeah.
Or retweet it from the fan if you see it? It's if you want to go see it, check it out at your Twitter.
At feed. @Dusty_Hera mm-hmm. and then @TenneyTheFan will have it as well.
By the way, I think Suk gave his analysis of a little bit on his Twitter feed talking about how bad it was. And I think John also, two credible offensive linemen that can speak to that. I don't know anybody that has any credibility, that have played the position and looked at this and said this is good. So what I mean, it's just embarrassing. First of all, football's not played with no pads on. So my comment was, oh God, even the 7-on-7 pass rush culture is upon us. Pray for us. This is what it is. It's more about just making the story. It's awful. I mean, because if you watch the pass rush, he actually grabs him, holds him, throws him down in what would be either the quarterback's knees or his other teammate's ankles.
And that is the amazing part.
This is more about promotion. It's more about the guy's got 4.3 million retweets because we're going to lambast this. But now there's going to be people saying, we got to go see this guy. He knows what he's talking about. Look at the competition. That was one of the things that I've heard.
What?
Yeah. Look at the competition that he's doing. I constantly hear parents and people tell me, and I've said this before, our kids need to be out there competing. They need to learn how to compete. Well, what does that mean? How do you learn how to compete? No one can describe what it means to compete. I can compete by myself against nobody but myself. I can practice hand techniques. I can compete, but I don't need to constantly be surrounded to prove myself all the time. You can compete with goals and effort without having to go through bad technique, bad coaches, and paying people $2,000 to $3,000 to individually teach you how to do that crap. You don't need to stand out and play 80 flipping baseball games and pitch 9,000 innings to learn how to compete.
Yeah, and like this whole thing is from top to bottom, you know, the guy's hyping up this prospect. And in the video, like the alignment ends up standing up and the defensive lineman ends up on the ground. And if you know nothing, you'll be like, oh, wow, that was amazing. But technically speaking, former offensive linemen in the NFL, current offensive linemen in the NFL, are criticizing from everything from his first step and where his feet go to his hand placement to the fact that he got beat inside and then threw the defensive lineman directly into the feet of the quarterback and would have just absolutely demolished his quarterback's legs. Yet this video, because we live in a culture where, you know, the 3-second video is more important than what is actually happening and the fact that kid landed on the ground, that is being praised as a dominant rep. And this is what is wrong with kind of breaking things down to 7-on-7 or 1-on-1 drills in alignment camp and saying, this is why this kid is better than the other. Yeah. Because of the fact that on a football field, in a football game, this play would have landed either with a sack, a hold, or your quarterback being injured.
Yeah, Damian Woody, ESPN analyst, Super Bowl champ, played with the Jets and the Patriots and the Detroit Lions, just says, what in the world is this S? That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that is it. I mean, David Bakhtiari, one of the best linemen in the league, says he threw him into a sack. And this is kind of like...
And you're promoting this.
But what you just said is right, is that the guy wants the views out there. Mm-hmm. And the views will sit there and there will be people that are like, that looks awesome. Because it if you just take it for what it is,
it's a big
the video
guy
does look, awesome.
Does it? It just looks like a big guy throwing him down. Anybody that watches football that has any football credibility just looked at this and went, it's just a dude throwing him down. And it's like, that. It's nothing.
isn't that exactly what LeVar Ball kind of made, which was, hey, I'm just going to spout off a brand and try to talk things into existence. He talks about it all the time. Speak it into existence.
So
I'm going to be the biggest, the loudest, the most brash, and people will recognize it, and somebody's going to take a flyer on it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the kid probably has talent and stuff, and if you look at it, I mean, I just think it's all about self. It's all about the promotion of it over and over. And I guess I should be somewhat. I've done this before. I've done that kind of play before. I've done it. I got a clip on my Twitter feed of me actually throwing a guy down that probably in today's game would be holding. It would be blatant. It'd probably be. I don't know how to look at it over and over again. It was against the Indianapolis Colts. I have one on my Twitter feed of me playing against the Colts with Danny Werfel against Peyton Manning in our very first games as rookies, and I just slaughtered a guy. But today's game, that's just blatant. It's just blatant holding. It was blatant, but it didn't get called. But I look at it as that, is it promotion of strength and dominance and stuff? Yeah. I mean, those are kind of the things that we do.
Is there a way that
you got to show strength somehow?
Is there a way that people will put this back, Pandora kind of back into the box, though, and kind of slow this down? Is it going to be like, guys, and this is the whole point of this conversation is, there is not one positive take from the biggest names in football. I mean, you've named off, we've been talking about the linemen that have talked about what is happening in that video. Is that the way that you kind of mitigate these things in as far as the self-promotion kind of pubbing everything up is going to be the shame? Or is that just making it even worse because more people are going to view it and more people are going to get excited about what's happening in it?
I believe, Dusty, that the self-promotion is okay now, and I'm okay with it. I've learned to get to the point where if you're not doing it in a way that constantly is shameful or making other people feel like they're gutter, but if you're not trying to promote and do things for yourself, you'll fall behind. Now, some of us don't have that luxury that they don't have the opportunities, but. And it's competitive, and here's the word, as competitive it is to get scholarships, competitive it is to find a way to want a way out, and you're an athletic talent, you have to self-promote now. You can't hide behind and wait for someone to come get you. Yeah. You got to be out there and be willing to put yourself out there, either good or bad, whether or not it's good or bad, you're going to get some notoriety, and I think there's a way to do it, but shamelessly. But you have
no. It is shameless plugging.
There is shameless plugging, but there's a genuine. It's okay to be genuinely promoting.
Yes,
there's nothing
that is that is. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I don't think this kid probably said, "Film this, bro," because I'm going to get it on social media. I think this is just the guy putting it out there, trying to shamelessly plug. It's not the kid's fault. It isn't. But to watch the technique and to say the technique is good, no, he'll learn. He looks like a big, strong kid.
And I think here is the kind of lesson to be learned here is that the guy's Twitter that posted the video is supposed to be a technician and a coach of technique. That's what he sells himself on. And the big like moral of the story here is that, you know, you've got to make sure you know who you're sending your kid to when you're training, because you could get a guy like this who his promotion may be great. But is he actually looking out for developing the talent? Can he actually do it? And is he doing it within the framework of, you know, a system that your kid will actually be playing in? Because that's the other thing, too, is that these kids go to 7-on-7. They go to these offensive line instructors, and they end up back at their high school, and their high school coach is sitting there like, this isn't what we do. Like, what you're doing is completely different from what we do. And now you're starting to see the good places. They're reaching out to the college coaches and saying, hey, is what we're teaching within the framework of what
epidemic.
You do.
I mean, we have travel ball coaches telling high school coaches how to coach. We have people that run local programs here threatening local high school kids, saying, I'm going to pull my kids from your high school program because you guys don't know how to teach. It's rampant. I know the inner workings of the entire travel business around this whole area.
It's ridiculous.
And it's everywhere in the country. It's not just here. The obsessive amounts of trying to make money and promise people and tell people it costs $8,000 to be part of this program. You don't care about their well-being. You're a business ticket. I mean, that's kind of what this is. So as long as you know it, getting into it, and you're fully transparent about it, I can support that. And you know it going in, but don't lie. Don't pretend like you care about whether these kids are going to be successful or not.
There is
how much money they can wrap around, you can promote it. And if you know that, all right. You know that going in.
Yeah. There's a right way to do it, though. Right way to do it. This is not it. 55305. That is the text line. Valentine's Day, we go off the rails. Have you already failed? On this February 14th. Next on The Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, 55305 is the text line. I wonder how many, if the texter who wins, texters that win our dumbass reservations to Laurelwood, with that I think they've already been drawn. I'm wondering how that goes for you tonight. Will your significant other know that you failed on the dinner reservation, so you got bailed out by your favorite radio station, 1080 The Fan? Are you going to be able to tell them? And I want to know, I want a full report on how it went, because have you ever been to Laurelhurst Market?
I have not.
It is awesome. Awesome.
I know. Wife and I went there not too long ago. Isaac tells us that all the time.
It is. It really is. No BS. Really good. And so I want to know how your day goes.
By the way, is it a mark? Like, if I go in, is there, like, meat displayed and then seats?
Yeah, on one side. They have, like, a very small, you can buy your meat there.
Okay.
They have a little refrigerator there. But what are the Valentine's Day plans for you and your Valentine's Day fails? P1 Mud says, 100% yes. She'd know I effed this up. So, there you go. Well, what about this? This guy says, my wife listens to the station as much as I do, so I can't get away with it. On the text.
Well, are you getting away with it if you win?
What if you just tell her, though, say, hey, I just took Isaac's advice. Pay no attention to the fact that our reservation's at 6:30 or 8:30. Just pay no attention to that. It's a mere coincidence that this is our reservation time.
Yeah.
So, have you ever had a Valentine's Day fail?
What would you constitute a fail as? Just forget. I would say forgetting. No, I've always done something.
Or something gets screwed up.
No, I've always just. My wife and I have a different understanding. We just don't go over the top. We don't expect. We did when we were first dating. I went above and beyond. We went to some cool places, did some fun stuff. Now it's just, you understand. So, just a little something. Can't screw up just a little something.
Have you?
I haven't had one, but when I was in college, there was a buddy of mine who had got really nice reservations to somewhere expensive in Eugene, and there weren't that many, but it was, you know, we were college kids, so getting like a nice sit-down spot was kind of a bigger deal, and he had kind of a late-ish class that Valentine's Day, and his date got too drunk on Patron by herself and never made it to dinner, and he still had to pay for the reservation, and we were in college.
No, yeah. That's a brutal one. That's brutal when you're in college.
Yeah.
One year when I was doing the shotgun wedding here at 1080 The Fan, officiating the shotgun weddings that we used to do, RIP to the shotgun wedding on Valentine's Day. I totally spaced because it was the very first one, and I was still like, I was getting like, how you do a wedding together. We had all these sponsor stuff. Mm-hmm. It was the last thing on my mind. And so I didn't get anything, like not even a card. And my wife was pissed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah. And nothing. I went out of the way to perform a wedding for somebody else's Valentine's Day to make their Valentine's Day special.
Get your priorities
and
right.
And I screwed up. I was like, uh-oh.
Getting priorities right.
Yeah, that was a big fail on my part. Just
a lot of proposals can happen today around the area.
Bad.
Love's in the air.
Is that a shortcut or a cop-out? How do you guys feel on that?
I'm okay with it. If it's right, it's right. If you want to do it, it's up to you. I'm not going to shame it. I would shame the scoreboard one at a basketball game or something. I think that one's just like really.
My issue with the Valentine's proposal is that it's a day where it's expected. So if that's fine with you, then great. But personally, I'd rather do it on like a day that they're not expecting it. That it's in most cases, you kind of want the proposal to be a surprise. I don't think you want your significant other, your fiance to be, to know that the proposal's coming. So
one weekend, Valentine's Day weekend,
or
Bob, the question?
The week,
surprise.
Or do it on the 15th. Mm. She was all disappointed from the 14th.
Yeah, oh,
bang, 15th.
Bang. Oh, and then you hit her with a little.
Hit her with a, he doesn't care, but oh.
Has he had?
Got her. Yeah, I don't see it as a cop-out. I'm all for it. I proposed my wife on her birthday. Mm. Made her the special birthday. So I went that route with it. And so I'm all for, hey, if you can get out and get a holiday in there, proposal, go do it. Just make sure you don't just like at dinner, just be like, hey, want to get married? Do something a little special.
Where does Valentine's Day rank in
all
holidays?
Dead last. Even behind New Year's. And I think New Year's is the most overrated holiday that we have. Valentine's Day is below that.
See, New Year's is way below Valentine's Day for me.
¿Por qué?
New Year's is just the next day. At least Valentine's Day has a meaning. New Year's is just the next day.
We made it to another year.
It's the next day.
I got news for you guys. They're both arbitrary.
They're both arbitrary. You're right. It's semantical. We're just arguing over nothing.
But at least I look at New Year's as it's a party.
Where will you spend more money, New Year's or Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day.
I don't know. But if you're going out, man, you go out and you do that.
I don't even do that.
Yeah.
Just Valentine's Day's brutal, dude. Yeah. So bad.
Don't listen to us for any
happiness. To me.
Don't listen to us for any happiness and tell your significant others and the kids around you like it. You'll start to appreciate it more with the kids. Kids will uplift you a little more. I'm not on board either, but for the kids. I mean, my daughter wrote me a card this morning and left it open when I got up this morning.
Great.
I mean, that stuff, and she left me chocolate-covered strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did I ask my daughter to do that? No. And that's why I go, it's over. She got me.
Here's a text right here, P1 Mohawk. Don't believe in Valentine's Day. Laid the groundwork early in our relationship. Don't celebrate it at all. Can't fail if you don't celebrate. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. It was before 9/11. I proposed to my wife during a flight on an airplane over the loudspeaker.
Oh, that's, I like it.
That's pretty solid.
Pretty solid. That's wedding singer-esque.
That is. Billy Idol's going to be, it was Billy Idol on the plane.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Grow old with you. Did you sing to her also?
Ooh.
Did you?
Yeah. My lady friend's brother and his lady are driving from Vancouver, BC to surprise her tonight. I hope she doesn't listen. Could be special or it could be taken the wrong way. I wanted to spend time with you, not my brother. I can see it already. That sucks. Mm. Wait, yeah. Why is that? Why did he pick that? Because it's a long weekend. President's Day weekend, by the way.
President's Day.
I would take President's Day way above Valentine's Day because at least we get the day off.
Mr. Hare, I want you to do yourself a favor and look on Twitter on a guy named Thomas Edward Brady and see what he just posted and say, this is why he's just better at life than all of us.
Okay. I will check that. Plus, it's always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining. Our weekend Would You Rather's next on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.